Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. As we usually do, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, which happens to be the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. Even as a child, this was a feast that did something in my heart. Even as a small child, I used to think of the Trinity, and I would try in my mind to picture the Trinity. And of course, my little finite childish mind couldn't even begin to put words around it. But I remember as a child thinking how loved I was by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Even then, I couldn't articulate anything. It was more as a child that I felt very loved when I thought about the Trinity. And only now do I look back on that and realize what a time of grace that was for me. That even before I could put my will behind a truth, there was a certain way that there was a grace in my soul, God sharing himself with us. And that I thought about him as Father. I thought about him as the Son of the Father. I thought about the Holy Spirit. That was the hardest one for me. But I want to share with you today, not what I think, but I want to share with you what the Catechism tells us. Take a look at it, section 221. 221. The Catechism says, by sending his only Son and the Spirit of love in the fullness of time. Notice the Spirit of love. So by sending his only Son and the Spirit of love in the fullness of time, God has revealed his innermost secret. Now, hear this. His innermost secret. God himself is an eternal exchange of love. God himself is an eternal exchange of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he has destined us to share in that exchange. When I read that, I think when I was a child, there was something in me I could never, of course, especially age-wise, I could never have, of course, have articulated it. But something in me knew that the Trinity was love. And here it is, right here, section 221. Do you understand when we say that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? You are a temple in which the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwell. The Spirit lives in you by baptism and by confirmation. You're sharing in the very life of God. That's the truth. Sin is what, as the Baltimore Catechism told us many times, sin darkens the intellect and weakens the will. Sin darkens the intellect and weakens the will. So when we give in to sin, in a certain sense, to use that image, everything is darkened. The light and the love and the power and the beauty of God is dimmed, at least, or obliterated, depending on sin. That's why we need to repent as quickly as we can. Repent. Even if you have to do it 100 times in one day, repent. Really repent. Say, Lord, I am so sorry. Please give me more of your help. Please give me your grace. I'll try to cooperate in every way I can. Then turn away from what causes you to sin. Just turn away, whether it's a person, whether it's a TV program, whether it's the internet, whether it's whatever it is, turn away from it. Give up the source. That's an indication of true repentance. And oh, brothers and sisters, it does bring you joy. Please read my little booklets offered to you at the end of the program. Let's take a look at the opening prayer. God our Father, who by sending into the world the word of truth and the spirit of sanctification, made known to the human race your wondrous mystery. Grant us, we pray, that in professing the true faith, we may acknowledge the Trinity of eternal glory and adore your unity, powerful in majesty, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Grant us, we pray, that in professing the true faith we may acknowledge the Trinity of eternal glory. And that Trinity of eternal glory dwells in you. If you're in the state of grace, he dwells within you. I know it's hard to grasp. Only God can accomplish this, but he offers it to us. Don't settle just for this earth. All of this is passing away. First reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, beginning with verse 4. Early in the morning, Moses went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, taking along the two stone tablets. And having come down in a cloud, the Lord stood with Moses there and proclaimed his name, Lord. Thus the Lord passed before him and cried out, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity. Moses at once bowed down to the ground in worship. And then he said, if I find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company. This is indeed a stiff-necked people. Yet pardon our wickedness and sins and receive us as your own. So here is Moses begging God to come and dwell with his people. Accompany us. Be with us. And notice something about Moses. He does say this is indeed a stiff-necked people, yet look at this next part of the sentence. Yet pardon our wickedness and pardon our sins. Moses is not separating himself from the people. He's identifying himself with the people. He's a true leader. He's part of a people. And he represents his people before God. But he doesn't point fingers in a time like that. He identifies, we are sinful people. Yet pardon our wickedness and our sins. Look at the freedom to repent, brothers and sisters. That gift is ours as well. Take a look now at the second reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 11 to 13. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the holy ones greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. God wants us to live in harmony with one another. I know sometimes that's difficult, but do all in your power to create an environment of harmony and love. Do all you can without violating the truth. Do all you can to promote kindness and mercy and peace. Because God's presence flourishes in that, no matter how weak we are. God's presence flourishes when we're really seeking to love one another and care for one another and repenting when we fail or when they fail, forgiving them. And the gospel is the gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This is very strong, brothers and sisters. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. He sent his Son into the world to save us, that we might be saved through him. God did not come in the flesh to point the finger at us, to condemn, to accuse and to condemn. And so when we make mistakes, brothers and sisters, so often we think, God condemns me. God accuses me. God hates me. I hear people say that. It's absolutely a lie in the fullest sense of the word. God does not hate you. He loves you. And the Father wants you to know the salvation, the love of God through his Son, Jesus. So Jesus looks at you with love, and he simply asks you to repent when you make mistakes, when you sin, when you fall short. Just turn to him. Go to confession, because there's grace and power released in confession to help you to overcome the sin. But repent right away. The moment you recognize it, repent. Say, Lord, please do not take the light of your presence from me. I repent of my sin. And then go to confession as quickly as you can. Because confession wipes it away. It wipes it away. That's how great is God's mercy. When you repent, the sin is gone. You and I keep bringing it up in ourselves, and sometimes we go around condemning ourselves or at least severely accusing ourselves. But that's not God. If you genuinely repent, it's done. And the way you acknowledge your gratitude is to really seriously take a look at this area, whatever it might be in your life, and ask God to give you wisdom how to overcome, how to break the pattern of that sin. And he will help you. He is a God of mercy. Yes, he is a God of justice. But he is a God of mercy, of kindness and compassion. You were made, brothers and sisters, you were made for union with God. You're made for eternal union with the source of all love. So say to the Lord, tell the Lord how grateful you are. How grateful you are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for all that God is to you and all that God can be for you. Thank him this day. Then allow him to be your Father. Allow him, I say allow, because we have free will and we can reject all this. We can reject the greatest gifts. So today, on this great feast of the Most Holy Trinity, accept God as your Father. Accept him as your Savior. And accept him by the power of the Holy Spirit as the one who loves you more than anybody in the world could ever love you. Way beyond. Brothers and sisters, let's really rejoice in this feast, and let's really live this feast by honoring God's presence in our lives in the ways I have described. God bless you. As you listen to these programs, you can see areas of your own life that need to change, and I want to offer you a free copy of my booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. It's great joy, brothers and sisters. Don't miss it. 1-800-282-4789 for a free copy of my booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. Again, 1-800-282-4789.